I hadn't come across this verse in a while. It's been a while since I went through the first books I assimilated were Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I just figured it was important. I know everything else is built on the words of Jesus. I figured you better get those in you first. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the ones that I assimilated. So I've been assimilating the other ones since, you know. And so it's been a little while since I came across this verse in Luke 6, verse 45. If you want to look there. And it just really reminded me of why we do calling in the lost, why we spend time confessing God's Word, why we spend time meditating the Word. Because how did Travis say that today? He said it really good. The only way you can coast is if you're going downhill. That's a good... See, because you think you can coast. You know, okay, I'm going to kind of just not meditate for a while and not do the things that I know to do. You won't stay the same. You'll get weaker. You'll coast all right. Downhill. You know? Because the reason is we don't live in a neutral world. We live in a world that is absolutely opposite to everything God is. I mean, dear Lord, the things that are going on right now, I just don't want to mention, you guys probably already know it anyway, but the most prominent talk show lady in our country is promoting New Age like she's kind of come out of the closet now. She's been doing it obliquely for years, but now there's no more oblique, you know, it's just blatant. And the top New Age authors and speakers, they're on her program, and all of that stuff goes all the way back to Genesis 3:5, the one we looked at today. You know, if you eat of that fruit, God knows that you'll become wise. You'll be like Him, and you will know good from evil. Meaning, you can make up your own mind what's right and what's wrong. You'll be like God yourself. Well, the end result of all that New Age stuff is divinity within. I am. It is, really. I am. I am God. And that's, you know, it's not new. It's as old as Genesis 3:5. They just come with different packages, you know. So, besides that, all of the death and the wars and the violence and everything in the whole world is just programmed opposite to God. That's why you can't coast. If you try, you'll go downhill. You will, because there's pressure on you away from God. Okay? So this verse here in Luke 6, 45 really just sums it up. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Now, if he'd have stopped right there, I wouldn't have this teaching that I'm about to do. Because you would think, okay. And another place he does talk about this, that when he's talking about not that which goes in the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes forth out of the heart is what defiles a man, you know, like food, you know, you eat it and then it's gone. That's not going to defile you, but out of the heart comes fornications, murders, adulteries, and envying and all that kind of thing. Well, here it sounds like very much the same teaching, but he adds something at the end. I mean, he just say, you know, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, good things will come forth. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, evil things will come forth. And if he'd have ended right there, it'd be like that other teaching. But here he says, he adds that little appendage there, and he says, let me quote it exactly. He says, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. I'll tell you right now what that's talking about is not what you say during calling in the lost. It's not what you say when other Christians are listening. It's not what you say when you've got your church face on. You know, it's when you're talking with people where they're, you know, nobody's going to be listening really. You know what I mean? Is nobody's going to be recording. You've got your hair down. You're just telling what you really feel like. And he says, whatever you've really got in your heart, we'll be able to tell it. Because out of that abundance, your mouth is going to speak it. See, I've learned with counseling, sit down with anybody, the less talking I do in the beginning, the better that counseling session is going to go. Because no matter what they've prepared ahead of time, and they do, They rehearse it in their mind again and again. Okay, before we said, and all that'll come out, you know. But if I let them keep talking, pretty soon we're going to start finding out what's in their heart in abundance. Mm-hmm. See, that answered a big question for me years and years ago. One of my early on, this is years before the prayer center, and all I really knew was those foundations of faith and calling those things. And thank God for the foundations now. Calling those things that be not as though they were, and you will never rise above your confession, and all of those foundational things. A good friend of mine, he was 25 years older than me, but I'd known him for 25 years, and he got cancer, and real serious cancer. He was a believer, spirit-filled believer. He and I had been on different things. We'd done different things together in the kingdom, besides we worked together on the job a lot. But he got cancer, and so, boy, we're doing everything we know to do. And when I was with him, I would get him saying the right things. I would print out verses for him, and we'd do it together, and I'd practice, you know. And he would do it while I was there, okay? But his condition kept getting worse and worse and worse. Well, he eventually died, and it wasn't until, I don't know, a year or two later, I got to talk with his wife and found out the only time that he ever did that was when I was there. The rest of the time, it was like, well, what kind of funeral am I going to have? And let's literally planning out his funeral, planning the flowers, and wants this song sung. He wants that done. You know, out of the abundance of his heart, there was no faith. Now, if you're in that condition, see, in a way, we're all in that condition. The reason I say that, the reason Dave says that, if we weren't lacking some abundance in our heart, we'd already be in the revival. Mm-hmm. See, God is not withholding this thing. He's doing all He can through the vessels that He has, okay? So there's some kind of treasure, there's more that's got to come into our heart. The way that I always say it is like this: the work of God is to believe on Him whom God has sent. So let's just, you know, if I'm currently in a state of unbelief, then my only real job is to work on the part of me that doesn't believe until I do believe. All right, so go to Romans 10 now. Because wherever you are on whatever, see, I know now exactly why the Lord had me years ago, because we were in such financial strait at the time. And I had such strongholds in me about finances and God. I mean, I was raised in southern churches, you know, and I don't want to mention... Oh, you already know it's Baptist anyway. Okay. So, anyway, and I don't know if all of them are like this or not, but the country Southern Baptist we went to, boy, I mean, you know, I almost thought it was scripture, you know. God, we're praying for our pastor. You keep him humble. We'll keep him poor. You know? I mean, and it just really gave you this idea you just couldn't have God and have any money. So with me, if I was going to have God, and, you know, the thing of it is, a stronghold is called that. This is deep calleth unto deep. Mm-hmm. Because it has a strong hold on you. And even when you intellectually try and dismiss it, if it's part of your fiber, if it's a part of who you really are, what you really are will come out. Mm-hmm. See? Well, when Sue and I really got saved in 1980, at that moment, you heard me say, but we lived in a pretty nice house and had two. We bought two new Cadillac cars. They weren't quite new at that time. We'd had them a little while, but we had a good job, had good suits. Everything was good. Within 11 months of me getting saved, we lived in the Roach Motel, driving an old pickup that we had to raise from the dead. Absolutely nothing. I'm going door to door in a poor side of town, trying to get painting jobs just to put bread on the table. Why? What caused that? And the guy who led us to the Lord, Michael Muccio, he didn't put that in me. If anything, he was teaching us the right way. That God's a father and that you're in a family. And that just like you want to see your children prosper, He wants to see us prosper in a decent and right way, you know. It didn't matter that input at that point. What was in my heart in abundance was those strongholds they put in me. If you're going to really have God, you can't have any money. I had just found God. The money had to go. This is why I know that faith is of the heart and not of the head. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't mentally overcome strongholds. Boy, I hope you write that down. You cannot. It is not a matter of mentally overcoming it. You have, Jesus said it just right, it's out of the abundance of the heart those things are going to come forward. It's what you really believe, deeper than your mind, deeper than your intellect. It's what you believe at your core. That is what's going to come forth on your tree. Period. It's quiet in here. Okay? Now, so, well, how does faith come? You've heard this, you know, it's good to refresh your night, Romans 10. You know how it comes? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's just see it. Let's start it this way. Start in verse 8. What saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but notice this, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Boy, you need to get this. We've taught it again and again. Faith has two parts, not one. Believing in the heart, that's only half. Now, sometimes getting to the place where you believe God's Word in your heart, that's what we're really talking about tonight, that may take a year. That may take 2 years. That may take quite a while. In my case, He had me take those three scriptures. There's nothing magic about those three scriptures. It's just the three that came to my mind. Psalms 34:10. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. He had me write those out on a card and say them out loud 4 hours a day. Why was He doing that? Well, in my heart, there was something that was in abundance. And it was a stronghold. And it was a lie. Sum it up. If you have God, you can't have money. That was the stronghold. It had been put in me from Cole's age. Like Cole is coming now and listening. I remember listening at his age, and that's all I ever heard was doctrine along those lines all my growing up years. Now, that's a stronghold when the man of God, you know, and I'm not saying they weren't men of God, but they're, on that part, they were not speaking exactly according to the mind of Christ, okay? So they put a stronghold in me. So now God says, we got to change that stronghold. Mm-hmm. Now, intellectually, y'all can tell I'm a good student, right? Okay, intellectually, I could have quoted back to you everything Michael had been teaching us at the Bible study. I had it in my mind. I could tell you I could take you to the verses. But in my heart, I still believed what had been put in there for decades by the other preachers. So God knows. Faith comes. We haven't really found it yet, but you all know it's in here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Where is it? Thank you. I wasn't looking far enough. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, now that somebody else can preach it to you, or you can quote it to yourself. You can read it out of the Bible, you know. Basically, you find out what faith is by finding out what God says. That's what it is. Well, those three verses, He had me take those and begin. Now, He didn't tell me to think them 4 hours a day. Meditation is good. He told me to say them. Speak them out loud. I needed to hear my own voice. See, there is somebody that you will eventually believe more than somebody else, and that's you. You keep hearing, you preach to yourself. Preach to yourself until there's faith. His Word is in abundance in your heart. And I hate to tell you. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. If you ever try and do three verses and say them out loud, 4 hours, you have them memorized before that first day is over. Okay? It's not a matter of mental. It's not a matter of mental. You can have them memorized in 15 minutes, you know. And that's what seems so silly about it, why the devil kept beating me out of it for my, you know, I'd start really doing it, and it just seemed so stupid. I just tell you, you know, it seemed, well, this isn't accomplishing anything. And plus, the bills were getting worse, and plus, nothing would got better. And it's embarrassing to me to tell you how long that I had, once I finally did start doing it, which I didn't. I mean, I started it 1,000 times, kind of like Alan and his 31-day fast. Well, I had many, many one-hour, four-hour confessions. So didn't even make it 1 hour. I'd make it 15 minutes. And the stupidity of it, what seemed just so stupid, would beat me out of it. But our condition just kept getting so much worse, little by little by little, that finally there was just, it was either this has to work or we're going under. And you know, so I finally did it. That first day, I'll never forget it. I felt like the biggest fool. 4 hours, I felt like, oh my God, nothing changed. If anything, the pressure got worse. It got worse quickly. The devil was trying to beat me out of it. But I, you know, if you ever make it one day, man, you can make it 2 days. So I did it the second day. And I hate to admit, I started that sometime in November of that year. And I did it at least 5 days a week through April of the following year. Everyone's, okay, let's do it like this. Say November, December, January, February, March, about mid-April, I think. Mid-April. Before it broke. Something in me broke. I don't know how other to describe it than what it feels like you've lived in one room in your whole life. There's a threshold there. You know there's another room, but you've never been in it. On that day, something changed on the inside, and it's like I left this room forever, and I stepped over into this new room. And I could look around and say, I don't live there anymore. And I, that day when I got home, we had a certain thing that we kept the bills in, and it was tall. It was almost a foot tall of just stacked up. I walked in, that looked right at that, and I said, I don't live there anymore, pointing at that stack of bills. Was anything changed in the natural? No. But finally, that stronghold had been broken on the inside. Faith comes by hearing. I was filling the treasury of my heart with God's Word, which was opposite to the stronghold that had been put in me all those years. Okay? All right. Now, eventually when you start speaking, once faith is there, see, in the beginning it's like you're filling the reservoir. It's like a dam. You know, every time they build any natural dam, there's no water there to speak of. I mean, they divert the water while they're building the dam. Then they get the dam finished and they divert it back. But like it may take 4 or 5 years to fill that thing. See, the turbines are up there the whole time. The turbines are ready to receive the water. The turbines inside the dam is what generates the power. But it sometimes takes a long time to fill that reservoir. What you need, my brothers and sisters, is more rain. You need an abundance of rain. Well, you can increase how much rain is coming into you based on the Word of God. You can increase the flow of it, to increase the flow of the water, to increase that. Because eventually, the analogy is perfect, until your faith really comes to a certain level, there's just like in a dam, that water has to get to the right height where they can start flowing it through that dam. It has to go through the turbines, and that's what generates the power. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You may, in the beginning, you're just filling the reservoir. That's what I was doing, filling the reservoir, filling the reservoir. And if you think, well, man, that's a long time, November through April. But when you think it destroyed strongholds that I had had in me from age 4 till at that point I was age, what was I? 30-something. Almost 40. Something I had believed for the biggest part of my life, and he did it in less than 6 months. Just 4 hours a day, part-time job filling the reservoir. 4 hours a day. Now, what strongholds are you battling, see? What stronghold is it? If you wait on the natural rain, you get 3 rains a week. Well, 4. You see, 8:30, 10 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Wednesday night. You get 4 little showers a week. You can cause it to rain yourself every day. You can increase that rain and how quickly your reservoir is going to fill up. Whatever stronghold he's dealing with you about. Every day. Just trouble with preaching is you preach to yourself too.
Yes.
I'm thinking, Okay, I've got some more strongholds. You know, no, durst thou not know us that I love his French fries? You know, one man's stronghold and another man doesn't have. But if you have it, you have it. Well, I need to fit. See, and I thank God for the strongholds that are gone out of my life. I thank God for that. That doesn't mean there's not a few that need to be brought down. But see, I could increase the rain. I need to increase the rain. I need to increase that, especially at age 61. I need to increase that. You know. Yes, sir. Now, right now, I'm talking on a level that we can all personally understand. We personally understand. I mean, is that clear? There's really nothing you can't change by filling your own reservoir with the Word of God, because that's how faith comes. And once it's really faith, and then you speak, your actions will be in line then with what you speak, and the Holy Ghost will go to work, and that stronghold will change. Even though nothing changed in the natural on that day in April, whatever year that was, I'm telling you, even in the natural, you could look back, that was the bottom of our roller coaster ride. That was the bottom of it right there. From that point till now, there's been some fluctuations. You know how roller coasters are. But we've never been down like that again, ever. Not ever. And I don't expect we ever will be. Since then, we've sent tapes around the world. I mean, our postage at one time, it's not that much now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My postage, just the postage, when we were sending actual tapes, used to run $4,000 to $5,000 a month. Just the postage. You know, it just seemed absolutely impossible. He had to break the stronghold. He had to break the stronghold. Hallelujah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, again, if we had that angel with that invisible angel with the invisible tape recorder, that would be a wake-up call for each and every one of us. If he could follow you around for a week and just record everything you say, not what you say in church, not what you say when Pastor Gary's there, not what you say when you've got your guard up, but what you really say. You know, what you read in it, you see something bad about the economy on the news. Well, what do you say with your friends after that? We would find out what's in your heart in abundance. And very often for us, that would be a real wake-up call. Yes, sir. And what I started to say a while ago, now right up till this point in this message, I'm talking about personal strongholds. Okay? Now let's go one step farther, because what we're believing for is a supernatural revival that's really beyond us. Okay? But still yet, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yes, sir. Where is it? Really? Okay. Go back to Luke 6. Oh my. It's amazing to me how the Holy Spirit knows the Bible. Let's start in verse 13. It said, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. So this is the day that he chose out the 12. Okay? Whom also he named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Now notice, on the same day that he calls out the 12. This is day one. You have just been assigned apostle in God and Son Incorporated. And you're starting to see this is your first day on the job. Can we put it that way? Your first day on the job. All right? Let's see what happens on the first day. See what they get a dose of. See what kind of a day this is going to be. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came, they came for two reasons. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. It's good to come and hear, and it's good to come and to be healed. All right? And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Okay,
I didn't read that right.
Which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. That is day one. It's like Jesus says, all right, this is your first day as one of my disciples, the ones I'm calling apostles. I want you to be no doubt in your mind what this is about. Come with me. Goes and there's this, and when it says great multitude, God only knows. I mean, he fed the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And it tells us that was 5,000 men besides women and children. So how much is a great multitude? It's a lot. And it says, here it is. He's impacting. Can I say it this way? He's slapping their brain. I don't care what you've seen your whole life. Watch this. And he healed them all. All of them. Now that just goes, that flies in the face of everything you've ever seen. That flies in the face of most church doctrine. That flies in the face of everything. He is rattling them to the core right off. Right from the get-go. I want to show you what's possible. First time. Every time. All of them. No exceptions. That's exactly what we have here. Now see, that kind of thing, we need to roll that over. Roll that over in us until that becomes more real to us than what we've been seeing in the past. Those visions that God has given Dave, which I've tried to see them myself, I have it in me. Not saying God gave it to me, I've just seen it when Dave described it, to where I can close my eyes and I can see it, can't you? The ambulances and the cars and the headlights disappearing over the horizon, you know, and all of them bringing the halt and the lame and the sick and the blind and everything in the world. And they, what would happen if we were really operating in this same thing? He will heal them all. He will heal them all. Okay? But faith in us has to grow to that level. The apostles weren't getting this done by their faith at this point. What are they seeing? They're seeing him operate by his faith at this point. But see, everything he does, he is grooming them and training them and schooling them. Because what did he tell them later on? He says, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. I hate to tell you this part, but right now I don't know. I mean, there's training schools and healing schools. John G. Lake has some, and they have results and everything. But at this point, I don't know anywhere you can go worldwide where you could get a great multitude of sick folk together and all of them be healed. But yet that is exactly the assignment that we have from God for this church. Well, buddy, the dam has to be built. The water has to reach the turbines. The water has to reach the turbines. And we can't wait for little, you know, what is that, showers of blessings. We can't, you know. We've got to, on purpose, do something to fill the reservoir. Well, that's part of why we come to calling in the lost. We're not changing God. We're changing us. That whole time he had me... See, I'm so glad now that he put me through that agony. You know, that assignment of 4 hours a day. Because I remember what it felt like and the hopelessness of it. And this isn't helpingness of it. And what a stupid thing to do day after day. You know, you've really gone off the deep end. And besides, don't you know, it's a cult. And on and on and on, all that stuff, you know. Everything that, and I wasn't even here yet. He was talking about, you know, the faith teachers. And you know, just on and on and on. And I thank God that I endured to where I have at least a few times in my life, I have seen the result. Yes. I have seen it. Well, once you've seen it, you can't unsee it. Yeah. It's like the 12. If we'd have been there on that day, and there's 10,000, and out of those 10,000, 3,000 of them's got everything in the world, from leprosy to muscular dystrophy to legs missing. You know, we could go to Matthew 15. They said they brought the maimed. We know for sure they brought the maimed. And they went home whole. And we're one of the 12. From that day on, I don't care what they preach. They say Jesus won't heal them all. We go, I don't believe that. I have been there. I have seen with my eyes. I have tasted it and seen that the Lord is good. His word is truth. You can't take it out of me. It's part of me.
That's exact. Now, you say, well, yeah, if the Lord would come down. See, that's that passage in Romans 10 we were in a while ago. They're going, well, yeah, if the Lord would come down from heaven and do that again, we'd believe too. In our covenant, we have got to believe what has already been done.
Amen. Yes.
He's not coming again. God doesn't have another son waiting in the wings. You know, another one's not coming. We have got to... How do you get the pictures? How do you get the experience? It's called meditation. It's called confession. It's called assimilation. It's called praying in tongues. I'm telling you, I've had some of the teaching visions that I've had experiences over there in Joshua when they're battling with Amalek. One time I was so... It scared me a little bit. I had been meditating that so long. I mean, I got caught up in that story to the point I could... You know, if you're really battling with swords and in a desert and... You know, you can taste the sand in your mouth. I could taste it. I had never thought of that. I could taste. And at one point, I don't know about you girls, most guys, most of the time in their life, they have at least one fist fight. I know what blood tastes like in my mouth. Okay, I know, you know, you loosen your teeth. I swear. No, I don't swear in church. I promise you. I promise you. It almost scared me a little bit. I could hear the clanging of swords. I could taste, like in that battle, I could taste sand and blood in my mouth. I got caught up in that thing where I mean, it's like I was there. And I know that same kind of thing, it's just this, what we just read. I didn't even really know that verse was there. You know, in Luke 6, I said, well, where is that? He said, just go where you were. So I was, oh, God, I hope it's there. You know, so I went over to Luke 6 and backed up. Sure enough, right there it is, see? But we could meditate that. You could meditate that to the point. I mean, he can almost, I don't want to get weird on you, but he could transport you almost there where you could have the same experience that those 12 had. It's become so real in us. See, the Word of God, it says, is alive. It's a living entity. It is alive. It's able to produce. It's a part of. It's the renewing of the mind. It's the anyway. Part of why we do what we do on calling in the lost. All of these statements that we say, faith is coming. Faith is coming. We're filling the reservoir, filling that space behind the dam. You know what the dam is? Would you all like to know? The dam is your tongue. You knew that was a damn tongue. All the orneriness has not been prayed out. It really is, though. Really, you're the reservoir. Your spirit is the reservoir. But where the turbine is, you want where the release of power is? It's the tongue. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Most of the time you sit with even good Christian people. Most of the time you sit with even good Christian people, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you're just in a relaxed mode, it's almost scary what starts coming out. Especially, you do any marriage counseling? Oh, my Lord. And the thing of it is, that most of what they're saying is not even really true anyway. It's their perception has become so distorted through the lens of poor little me. Oh, look how awful I've been treated. Poor little me. I'm not looking at anyone on purpose. You know, in the old days, I'd want to listen to one, then I'd want to listen to the other. Well, you listen to the first one, you want to kill that other one. In a little while, though, you listen to that one, you want to kill the first one. And it's so distorted, you know, you go, these two realities cannot coexist in the same universe. Both of them are wrong. Both those things can't exist in the same universe. So what's happened? The devil has so twisted the image.
Yes, yes.
That they're living in a false world.
Yes.
And they're about to make decisions based on a false information system.
Wow.
That's why the Word of God, we have got to have the Word of truth. We have got to have it like lifeblood on the inside of us. That's why,
Do you get discouraged doing calling in the lost? Oh, I'll tell you, I wish the revival would have broke out 9 years ago. And it's been over 10 years we've been doing this. But because I've had that experience, okay, that for myself, and I've had it in more than one area. We had it also with our daughters. I've told you about that. Had it also with the cancer. Glory to God. Had it with other things. I've had enough of those. I know this will work. So, do you get discouraged? Well, in the sense of, I wish we was already in the revival, yeah. But do you get discouraged like this is never going to work? Never! His Word is alive. His Word is truth. We will have everything that we say because He has already said it. We will have it. We'll possess the land. I'm not happy about continuing to do it week after week and not seeing the results. I've been through this before. I went through that with the other issue, okay? But the end result, what did you get? I got what God wanted. I got what His Word says. We're going to get what God wants here.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Perseverance, if you haven't read it in a while. No, endurance. Endurance is the key word. The very first prophecy that ever came to the prayer center when they were still down in Jinx somewhere. That prophecy came through Pastor Dave. I believe it's the very first one. Endurance is the key. Dave thought at the time, I can endure, sure, 6 months, whatever you need, Lord. Had no idea what kind of war he was really getting himself into. But endurance is still the key. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's a stronghold you're trying to... Yes, sir. You can be your own invisible recorder. You can be your own invisible angel with the recorder. Yes, sir. Okay. I'm not going to tell you all the details on this. Why not? It's just too embarrassing. Maybe he'll let me do it in a way where other people won't be embarrassed. Okay. Besides myself, I would be embarrassed too. Yes, sir. Write this down or remember it and write it down later. Somewhere. There's a prayer that says, set a watch upon my lips or my mouth. Set a watch. Set a watch upon my mouth or upon my lips. One time, I got to be careful on this one, okay, but it's all right. The principle's true. I was not getting my victory at a time when, past the time when I should have already had it. And I knew it. I didn't know what was wrong. He told me, while I was praying in tongues, however you want to... He said, pray that I will set a watch upon your lips. In other words, he wanted me to pray to him. And I don't know why it was important that I pray. I go, you know, part of my logical mind goes, couldn't he just do it anyway without my prayer? I don't know about that. You talk to him about that when you get there. All I know is what happened. He said, pray, ask me to set a watch upon your lips. What happened after I prayed that over the next few weeks? Is it, where is it? Psalms 41?
No,
Psalms 141. Here's looking here. Okay. Let me read this out of Bernard's got it here. So, Lord, I cry unto Thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto Thee. Let my prayer be set forth before Thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. God. So there's, you got scripture for the prayer. All right. Well, I prayed basically that. Over the next few weeks, you know how normally you just talk? You ever talk and say something and wish you hadn't said that? He delivered me from that. And as I would begin to say something, he gave me like a few milliseconds of hesitation where I would have a chance to think before I spoke. To me at the time, it was quite different. It didn't really happen much before I prayed that prayer. And it was, what was astounding, he was showing me, I was amazed how much my mouth was speaking opposite to what I was after. I was astounded because I'd start to speak like I normally would, and he'd set a watch, and I'd go, "Oh, I don't want to say that." But I'd been saying that. I'd been saying that all along, even though I would have my times of confession. And it showed me what was still in my heart in abundance was not my confession of His Word. What was in my heart in abundance were the strongholds that had been there of long standing. Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. So some of you, that's why he alerted me there a while ago, you can. Would you like to have an invisible recording? Some of you go, no, I don't want that at all, no. No, I don't think that'd be a good idea. I don't think so. Yeah, but it really will. I'm not going to ask you to everyone pray it right now. After the service, if you think that'd be a good idea, Psalms 141, if you want to read it, make sure you've got scripture for it. He will, if you ask Him for a season, He will set a watch upon your mouth. And He'll give you a few seconds or a few moments. It's really quick. But He gives you opportunity to think before you say that. What's amazing, what amazed me, it drew me back into, after a week or two of that, it drew me back into the times of confessing His Word. Because even I was convinced. I said, okay, I know why it's not working now. I thought I had His Word in my heart in abundance. But based on what I've been saying, that's not so. I've got to get back in there and fill the reservoir with His Word again. Amen?
Yes.
Dealing with somebody that lives in another state, they've been carrying an offense, a serious offense now, serious, for about 3 decades, about 30 years. And I keep dealing with them, and they'll say things like, well, I could forgive if they would just apologize. Listen, you're putting your own deliverance at the mercy of their tongue. You're the one bound. They've been free for 30 years. You're the one bound in bitterness. I keep telling him, no, just forgive. He goes, I can't. I said, you better. And they take him right to those verses, unless you forgive from the heart every person their trespasses against you, neither will my Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses against him. So I've given him the testimony, you know, of how the Lord had me do it with, you know, just pray for it, you know, just start praying. He'd do it for a little while. And when I say a little while, a few minutes, he couldn't go on. The stronghold at this point is bigger than the truth. All I'm sharing, I don't know why he brought that to my mind right here. This same thing applies in every realm. He knew, I mean, I was honest. Remember, I told the Lord, okay, I'll pray it, but you know I don't mean it. But as I kept praying, something about his love, little deposits of love, were being dumped into the reservoir behind the dam. And it was slow. It took a while. It's very much like rain filling up the reservoir, you know. It doesn't happen overnight. But over a period of time, pretty soon, it became real in me. And I did forgive them from my heart. And today, you know, we're very close friends. Well, if I can do that same, you know, I'm not offended that he's still carrying this. I just keep after him and after him, you know, little by little, unless he runs me off. But I'm telling you here, when it says, now, Father, in preparation, I forgive every person their trespasses against me, that's a big... You know, only you know if that's the truth. I search my heart every time Dave does communion. And, you know, we're not really, you know, trying to fish up anything, not on a fishing expedition. But I'll be honest, I mean, I've been through it so many times. At this point, I honestly don't think there's anything there. I mean, if there was, I'd get after it again. It's not like I haven't done it before. Okay? But I don't, he's stopping here for a reason. Okay? Yes, sir. Okay. You know. You know. Somebody was sharing with me just this last week or two, had a breakthrough in his relationship with his father. And it's been, let's just say, strained for a long time. And he spoke with me, what do you think I should do? And he already had the right idea. I said, well, you ought to do that. Took a little while. He did it and was surprised at the result. Take the first step. See? And so So it looks like good things are going to come from that. When I don't have any grape juice and wafers, but you can have your own communion anytime you want with the Lord. Man, get out of my post. I'm not looking at anybody now. If there's been a lot of strife, especially amongst married couples, you know, harshness, if here lately your buttons have just been getting pushed more than normal, you need to understand there's an assignment from hell against every family at the prayer center. I mean, and if you'll be honest, you know it. I mean, even Sue and I, we've been married over 3 decades. And this past year, it took a little while for us to realize what was going on, that there was a stranger in the house. You know what I'm talking about? We had company that we didn't invite. I'm talking about a demonic assignment. And we finally got to comparing notes because it was just unusual. You know, we normally get along well, and it's just unusual things, you know. So we finally got to comparing notes, and I go, "What did you hear me say a while ago?" She told me what she heard. I said, "That is not what I said." So a little while later, a bird get under my saddle. "What do you think I said?" "You said this." "I did not say that. There was some kind of assignment that from the time that words would leave one of our mouth till it reached the other one's ear, somehow they were different. We had to literally, it wouldn't stop because we knew that. It stopped when we took authority over it." Amen. You hear what I'm saying? We took authority over it. Said, "There is a stranger in the house." I'm getting some looks around the room that some people are being real stoic, like we're not going to let him know. Others, I'm going, "Okay, we've had that stranger in our house, you know." Okay? We had to take authority, and more than once, the rascal come back, you know. And it took a little while, but it's leveled out. Now, you need to know there is an assignment against everybody that I talk with, especially married couples, and maybe close friends, and I don't know what all. But I mean, there is an assignment from hell sent to just split them up, you know. So just know that. No, you're not alone. And don't stay silent. You would take action if there was a rattlesnake in your house. Take action. There's a rattlesnake in the house. You take authority by the Word of God. But see, it's really hard to leave. You know, you have all this strife in the house and bickering. Now, Sue and I, it's not that, but there's other cases. It can get pretty bad. And then come, "Yes, we're going to call in revival." You don't believe that when you just left, you know, walk in, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Well, he does. Yes. He does. Put your church face on, everything's fine. Get back in the car, you know. Your own heart will fight against you, see? You know, if that kind of stuff's going on. So just be real careful. I'm just telling you, you're not alone. This is an assignment. There's a stranger in the house. Take authority over that. Cast them out. If you have to do it more than once, even in a day, do it. You will notice the atmosphere change again. You will notice it come back. Okay? All right. Now let's just stop for a minute. This is more important than finishing. You reckon the same Jesus that told him cast the net on the other side of the ship could talk to you and your finances? You know, you don't have to be a genius your whole life. You just have to be a genius long enough to hear one sentence from him.
Yes.
That's it. That's all you need. You need one sentence from him. It probably sets you up for the rest of your life. Okay? All right? Now, the revival of finance is going to be just as supernatural as the revival of healing.
Amen, yes.
Do you hear that?
Yes.
You're not smart enough to do it. Yes. Just like none of us are him that can open blind eyes. Absolutely. He's got to do it through us or it ain't going to happen. It's going to be the same in finances. He's not calling on your witty ability. He's probably going to call some housewife who knows she can't do it.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? Somebody, "I can't do that." You go, "Good, you're the one I choose. Come. Do this, do that, say this, punch that button, boing, millions." Okay. Loopy goes, yeah. See? Okay. We've got to hear him in that realm also. He's not calling for what you can do. Just to say, He's not calling for you to be able to open the blind eyes, or is He? We're going to do the works, but it's Him doing the works through us. Well, it's Him doing the finances through us. Same thing. Hallelujah.